Imagine with me, if you can, that you had trained for years for a particular event to do one thing over and over again. Every day you worked really hard. You just poured yourself into this because there was one thing very important you needed to do. And then imagine, if you will, what it might feel like when that big moment comes and you fail. It just doesn't happen. I think it would be fair to say that you would be profoundly disappointed. Now, I really enjoy watching track and field, especially the Olympics. It's an amazing spectacle out on the field with these people who've worked for years to do one thing. In 2016, a track and field event was held in Portland, Oregon. In that event, there was a women's 4x100 relay race, of course, held with some of the fastest women in the world participating. The U.S. women's team did feature our fastest women. But you know how those races go. One misstep can change everything. Now, all each woman needed to do was run as fast as they possibly could for 100 meters. And then they had to hand a 12-inch stick, a baton is what we call it, to the next person. It didn't work. Let me show you the video. It's heartbreaking to watch that because you know these are extraordinarily talented women, the fastest in the world, and just that one handoff. As it turned out, there was a collision that had happened a little bit earlier, and somebody had deviated out of their lane, but that's all it took. And we can only imagine how they felt when they had worked so hard for so long to do that one thing, and it didn't work. Now, what's interesting about this race is that of the four runners, only the last one crosses the finish line. But without the efforts and the passing of the baton by the previous three runners, the last one cannot finish. And if the last runner crosses the finish line first, the whole team wins. I bring that up maybe as a metaphor, as an allegory for what we need to think about when it comes to that idea of passing on our faith. This faith that we sit with today, that we are here to give God credit for and to worship and praise over, well, that's been passed on to us by generations, innumerable that came before us. Someone has passed the baton to us, which is why we are entering into a new preaching series called Our Turn. It is our turn is a perspective that we must keep in mind, because Scripture reminds us that God has given to each of us a faith that we are to pass on to others, to the next generation and the generations after that. Moses does this with Joshua. Elijah does this with Elijah. Jesus does this with his disciples. And we are called to do that as well. So each week we're going to dig deeper, seeing why God calls us to pass on our faith to others, learning that for each of us there will be and there is a time for us to pass the baton. Now you can see this happening in the life of Moses, the leader of the Israelites, people who had been freed from slavery in Egypt. Moses, of course, led them out of Egypt, across the wilderness, and to the edge of the promised land. The Bible says that Moses was famous for his mighty deeds, so apparently he was a very capable leader. But ultimately, Moses does not get to lead the people into the promised land. I don't know if that was disappointing for him, but there's something about Moses when we read the Scripture that reminds us that he had perspective, that it wasn't about doing it all himself, that there was a time of preparation so that he could faithfully and successfully pass this call of God on to the next leader so that the people might succeed. In Deuteronomy 3:28, we get some remarkable insight into how Moses did this. God instructs Moses to charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will cross over the Jordan River. He will be at the head of his people, and he shall put them in possession of the land that you will see. Charge Joshua, encourage and strengthen him. Turns out that Moses' lap, before he could enter the promised land, ended. He doesn't get to cross the finish line. And he had to pass the baton on to Joshua. Joshua led for a while, and then he passed the baton on to someone else, another leader, who passed it on to another leader, and so on. Folks, the baton is still being passed. As I said, that's why we're here today. None of us runs forever, and God wants that baton to continue to be passed. We call it our faith. In fact, you and I are called to pass on our faith to others, to people who don't know God loves them, inside and outside of the church, to people who are growing in that understanding, to children and grandchildren. The need is all around us. I've often wondered why it seems to be hard to get Sunday school teachers, volunteers for our children and youth ministry. Perhaps it's because we think it is somebody else's responsibility to run the race of faith. Hey, I'm busy. I have things to do. And I'm just going to assume that the next generation is prepared and ready to serve Jesus Christ. Apparently, the church has not done a good job of that in previous generations, because less and less people know about God or even believe in God. That baton is still there. It is still to be passed. None of us runs forever. God wants us to be ready to pass it on. So we read about Moses and how he did that. Beginning in Deuteronomy chapter 31, I want to share with you portions of the text. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old. I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord, your God himself, will cross over ahead of you. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous. For you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Continuing in chapter 34 of Deuteronomy. Then Moses went up to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have now allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter the land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. The Lord buried him in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab. But to this day, no one knows the exact place. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. The people of Israel mourned for Moses on the plains of Moab for 30 days, until the customary period of mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, doing just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Here it is. One last thing, one last task for Moses to do. He was to prepare Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. So how did he do that? That's why I shared with you that section from Deuteronomy 3, verse 28. There are three words that are very descriptive and rich there. Words that if you look at them in the Hebrew, just begin to flesh this out. Used to instruct Moses towards that preparation. The words are charge, encourage, and strengthen. They provide us that tangible insight about how we can prepare those who will succeed us in the faith. To charge in the Hebrew language means to appoint, ordain, or give charge. Here's what it means. It means to assign one to a clear role or a task or a function. In other words, the person who's going to take that responsibility needs to clearly know what is in front of him or her, what it is you're asking them to do. I know churches that don't do that. They don't prepare. And so they just sort of drift, hoping that by some divine insight or osmosis, the person we said, would you be in charge of this, will actually know how to do it when they have no clue. That's a quick way to kill a church, to water down and weaken leadership. And when that leadership is weakened, then things don't happen as God has called us to do. Clarity. The next word is encourage. Not just to charge Joshua, but to encourage him. Now in the Hebrew, that carries the connotation of helping others discover the ability to accomplish what is intended and to have resolve. Of course, a new leader needs skills. Those are what are needed to pass on the faith. But they also must have a sense of competency. That is, if the Lord has called you to do it, the Lord will equip you to do it. You're not going to be hung out to dry and good luck. Oh no, you have the strength of God's almighty hand with you there. But for that to happen, something has to take place. The leader must prepare themselves. There must be study and learning of the faith. That's why we use the word grow in our purpose statement. We are a church which begins with worship. We begin with God, but we invite, we grow, and we serve. And that grow in the middle is critical. It's why we have Sunday school classes, small groups, why we have Bible study, so that people are prepared. We know the Word of God, and that's our compass in leading. There's also a sense of determination that's carried in that word, encourage. Any leader who succeeds another will need resolve to follow God. There's distractions as soon as you walk out that door. There's the rest of your life and all those pieces that are pulling at you. The old leader encourages the new leader through improving not just their abilities, but infusing a sense of resolve. And then there is that third word, strengthen. In Hebrew, it means to marshal force or to be courageous. You can say this, if encouraging was primarily about improving someone's abilities, then strengthening is primarily about attitude. It carries the idea of focus. No leader is worth their salt without focus. You can be all over the page. I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's times where my sermons don't have focus and everybody's going, well, that sounded okay, but what was it about? My wife will let me know those days, by the way. So, and you don't like that kind of preaching, where they just kind of ramble and run down that rabbit hole and that, the other. Well, leadership is meant to be the same way. Leaders help those who are getting ready to take the baton to marshal all that God has given them for a God-given task. Succeeding leaders can become distracted, so the outgoing leader must help that new leader focus on the task ahead. Those three words, charge, strengthen, and encourage. We could say that's a summary of how Moses was to help Joshua in taking over as the leader of the people of Israel. Make the task as clear as possible. Help him improve his God-given abilities with a sense of resolve, and help him step out in courageous faith with an unwavering focus. That's how you prepare leaders. That's how we pass on the baton of our faith. Deuteronomy 34:9 says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded Moses." You begin to see cause and effect, that laying on of hands, that giving of those characteristics to him, people will follow him. And we already know that they're a stiff-necked people, a stubborn people. They easily could have said, you know what, Moses isn't here, we're taking up with this guy or that person. But there was something about his leadership that was conveyed rightly and strongly so that people followed him. So how did he do? Well, we know, thankfully, from Scripture, as we read in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, who was Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. So the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. So I promise you what I promised Moses. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong, be courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land that I swore to your ancestors. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, not to the right or to the left, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And we read further that Joshua did lead them across the Jordan. He did lead them into this new land. And when they were confronted by enemies, God was with them. When the baton was passed, he did what he was called to do. And the passing of the baton falls to each of us this very day. Because we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, it carries with it a responsibility to pass on this faith. So how are you preparing leaders around you? Your children, your grandchildren, your friends, those who don't know, others in the church and outside of the church. Who are you raising up to take your place? Will they be ready? Because at some point, it will be our turn to pass it on. And you know how easy it is to drop the baton. Who are you charging, encouraging, and strengthening? Let us pray. Each one of us must answer that question for ourselves, Lord. We could easily say it's somebody else's responsibility, but it is ours as much as it is the person next to us. Forgive us if we have tried to ignore the passing of the baton. Rather, create within us a passion, a desire to make sure that this hope, this light, this salt, this good news is given to another generation and another and another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. About midway through the service, another report came out that the winds are now up to 180 miles an hour. We are called to bear witness to our faith, which is to cover these people in our prayers, to respond with our hands, to be there in faith in every way. In many ways, that is exactly what it means to pass the baton. But we must prepare another generation that what it means to follow Jesus Christ is to be there with all of our being. He is that one Lord that we serve. Go and serve faithfully as you go now in peace and go in love. Amen.